Take your Bibles, if you would, and turn to Jeremiah chapter 6 as we continue to look at this thing of the old paths. If you've found your place there, please stand out of love and respect for the Word of God if you are physically able. We're going to read responsively verses 8 through 19, and you can read out loud with me on the even verses. I'll read by myself on the odd verses as we go through this passage of Scripture, beginning in verse 8 of Jeremiah chapter 6. Be thou instructed, O Jerusalem, lest my soul depart from thee, lest I make thee desolate, a land not inhabited. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, they shall thoroughly glean the remnant of Israel as a vine. Turn back thine hand as a grape gatherer into the baskets. To whom shall I speak and give warning, that they may hear? Behold, their ear is uncircumcised. The word of the Lord is unto them of a reproach, that they have no delight in it. Therefore I am full of the fury of the Lord. I am weary with holding in. I will pour it out upon the children abroad, and upon the assembly of young men together. For even the husband with the wife shall be taken, the aged with him that is full of days. And their houses shall be turned unto others, with their fields and wives together. For I will stretch out my hand upon the inhabitants of the land, saith the Lord. For from the least of them, even unto the greatest of them, every one is given to covetousness. And from the prophet, even unto the priest, every one dealeth falsely. They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Also I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. Therefore hear, ye nations, and know, O congregation, what is among them. Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor to my law, but rejected it. I want to take your attention as we have read our text, and we've really read it for pretty much a whole month now, as we've been looking at this thing of the old paths and the comments of the Lord about the children of Israel and how far they had gone away from God. To the point to the where when they sinned against God and chose to do sin, that they even got to the place where they wouldn't even blush because of the sin that had been committed and the things that they had participated in. It even says in verse 13 that the least of them to the greatest of them were given to covetousness. And that the prophet and even the priest, every one of them dealt falsely with the people. Even to the point where they told the people, hey, it's okay. There's peace ahead, when there was no peace. They were deceiving people to that degree. And listen, folks, can I tell you today, it kind of sounds like today. And what's going on today? And the things that people are accepting, and even, if you will, Christians are swallowing hook, line, and sinker. I just can't believe it. And you know, I guess they get to that place because they think, well, I don't want to be singled out. I don't want to be slighted by society today or be called guilty of a hate crime. I'm sorry. Right's right and wrong's wrong. It doesn't matter who's doing it. Doesn't matter how it's being done. It's just either is or isn't. And I guess you can call that old-fashioned.
And if that's what I am, great, I'm old-fashioned. If it's narrow-minded, then I guess great, I'm narrow-minded. It's just the way it is. But as we get down through here, and God still, even though he gives all of these things and says all of these indictments and all of these harsh things about the judgment of God and the wrath of God, and by the way, all of it 100% just. Okay, all of it. It is deserved. It is just. God is not going out of his way to nitpick and punish just because he enjoys punishing. Folks, God doesn't enjoy punishing us. He does it because he has to. If he doesn't, then he's not going to keep his word. And his word is to be kept. But God still is loving. He's kind. He's merciful. He's forgiving. He's a God of, I'm just going to say, chances, okay? I'm not going to say second chances because that only means two. He gets to verse 16 and he says this. He says, stand in the way and see and ask for the old paths. He says, I want you to know. I want you to return. I want you to remember. I want you to be refreshed. I want you to come back to me. I want you to get back with me on the path. Last week we talked about where God is. God has not left the path, folks. He's still on it. He never will leave it. We're the ones that leave the path. And God is begging us and he's pleading with us and he's telling us, come back, ask me. Just ask me where the old paths are. I'll tell you. I'm not going to hide it from you. I'm not going to play hide and seek. I'm not going to trick you. I want you to come back to these paths. I want you to walk in this good way because that's where the old paths are where the good way is. And if the Lord is good, right? Guess what the path that he's on is? It's good. And by the way, we talked about the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And so he's asking us, he says, it's the good way. He says, and then we talked about last week that we should walk with him in those good paths, in those old paths, in those good ways. He says, ye shall find rest for your souls. You understand, folks, that the only place to find rest is in the pathway with God. You get out of that path, it's not going to be peaceful. Remember, he said, they've healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Why is there no peace? Because they're in the wrong path. They're not in the good way. They're in the evil way. And that's not a peaceful path, folks. It's one of misery. It's one of difficulty. It's a hard path. But then he says this, and this is where I want to focus today, because this is where we are in our world today, and this is where even Christians are in our world today. Look what it says at the end of verse 16. Even after God pronounces all this judgment, and even after God extends his mercy, his loving kindness, and his grace, the people's answer is this. But they said, we will not walk therein. We will not. Look down at verse 17. It says here, also, I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. So not only did he say, stand ye in the way, ask for the old paths, and walk in them, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But he said this, I set watchmen over you. I set guys like Jeremiah to blow the sound of the trumpet in warning, saying, hearken unto God. But they said, we will
not hearken.
The cold, hard, simple truth of our world today is we will not. You want to know where problems exist? It's we will not. You want to know why our churches aren't growing? It's because we will not. You want to know why people aren't getting saved? Maybe like they were in times of old, the great revivals and all those things? It's because of we will not. You want to know why our country is floundering? Why, if you will, some of the memory of these people we're trying to remember today are being trodden upon? It's because of we will not. All the problems that ever existed in this world are because of we will not. It's depravity, folks. It's the sin nature. It's what we are as human beings. And you know what? It's something that we've got to pay attention to. It's something that we've got to acknowledge. It's something that we've got to admit. It's something that we need to overcome. Because if we continue in this state that we're in, if we continue down this path that we're in, it's the wrong path. It's the evil way. It is not the good path. It's not where God is. If we're going to continue to stand in defiance to God and say to heaven, we will not, then it's going to remain this way. And if you will, it's going to wax worse and worse and worse. Over in Exodus chapter 32 and chapter 33, we see an example between God and Moses and God and the people of Israel. They've been delivered from Egypt. They've been brought to a place where they can be free and be with their God and serve their God and all of those things. They had a difficulty concerning some gold that miraculously jumped into the fire and came out a calf. And the people couldn't help but strip off all their clothes and dance around and worship and all this nonsense that took place. And Joshua thought it was the noise of war in the camp, and Moses knew what it was. It was the noise of sin. And they have this difficulty, and I've told you before, I'm so glad that God and Moses weren't always on the same page together. Because if they were, there would be no people of Israel. It'd be the people of Moses. Because God mentioned that, you know. Well, actually, I'll read it to you here. The Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. How'd you like to be titled or labeled a stiff-necked person? Just a person who will not. You know what? As parents, you may have experienced at some time or are currently experiencing a stiff-necked child. Or perhaps you were one of those. I'm looking at the crowd, seeing if I'm giving see if you're going to give away any signs of guilt here. No? Okay. Amen. Or maybe you still are. You know that kid that just won't do it. You know? You ever know those kids? Right? Did you have any of those kids? I've either had a few or still have some in my household. You know, because it comes and goes. Hopefully it goes. But you know what? Just that kid that's going to buck up and say, I'm not going to do it. You tell them to do something. You teach them to do it. You train them. You show them the right way. And they just refuse. You know what that child is? Stiff-necked. Stiff-necked. They just won't. God says of the children of Israel, these are a stiff-necked people. Listen to what he says to Moses. He says this, Now therefore, let me alone. Moses, shh. Don't plead for them. Don't take up their case. Don't tell me how merciful and full of loving kindness and grace that I am. Just leave me alone, Moses. I want to kill these folks. That's how God felt about it. He said, I've seen them. I've observed them. I've been dealing with these people for hundreds of years. I'm tired of it. They're stiff-necked. He said, I want to consume them. He says, let my wrath, that my wrath may wax hot against them and that I may consume them. And then he says this, and I will make of thee a great nation. And Moses thankfully says, God, you can't do that. God, if you do that, then the whole world will just think that you're not anything, because all you did was take these people out of Egypt just to kill them and wipe them out. You can't do that. And God said, okay, Moses, you're right. I can't do that. Then in chapter 33 of Exodus, the Lord says to Moses, depart and go up hence, and the people which thou hast brought up out of the land of Egypt, unto the land which I swear unto Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, saying, unto thy seed will I give it, and will send an angel before thee, and I will drive out the Canaanite, the Amorite, and the Hittite, and the Perizzite, and the Hivite, and the Jebusite, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. For I will not go up in the midst of thee, for thou art a stiff-necked people. He says, lest I consume thee in the way. And when the people heard these evil tidings, they mourned. And no man did put on him or his ornaments, for the Lord said unto Moses, saying to the children of Israel, ye are stiff-necked people. I will come up into the midst of thee in a moment and consume thee. Therefore, now put off thy ornaments from thee, that I may know what to do unto thee. You understand, folks, that God knows our hearts. He knows us better than we know ourselves. Do we want God to observe our lives and say about us that we're a stiff-necked people? That He no longer wants to deal with us. He no longer wants to call us back into the way. Folks, don't be one that says, we will not walk therein. We will not hearken. You say, Pastor, I wouldn't ever say that. Okay, fair enough. But don't you know that actions speak louder than words? It's by the way that we live our lives. He knows whether or not we're stiff-necked. You know, in Romans chapter 12, the Bible tells us, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Folks, listen to me. Yeah, I know Isaiah got it right. It is. That's what we're supposed to do. That's how we're supposed to live. That's the life that we have to look forward to. That's walking in the old paths and walking in the good way and choosing it. Not saying, God, no, I'm not going to be a sacrifice. I'm not going to be holy. I'm not going to go through with my reasonable service. I'm going to live my own life. I'm going to set my own rules. I'm going to follow my own path. You know what, God? I'm going to do what I think is right. I'm going to follow after my heart. Can I tell you what? I don't know whoever said it first or whoever brought it into existence, but the worst thing you could ever tell a teenager to do is to follow their heart. That's the worst thing you could ever tell them to do. Oh, son, daughter, just follow your heart. You might as well just put a gun to their head. I mean, come on. That's the dumbest thing you could ever tell them. No, don't follow your heart. Your heart is deceitful. It's desperately wicked. Don't be will not people. God says that the will not people will not succeed. And guess what? They will not prosper. In Exodus 34, God came down and met with Moses as he's recreating the Ten Commandments that he broke out of frustration. The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, "The Lord, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and fourth generation." We read that in our study on the commandments. He says this, "Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshipped and said, 'If now I have found grace in thy sight, O Lord, let my Lord, I pray thee, go among us, for it is a stiff-necked people, and pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us for thine inheritance.'" What kind of reputation do you want before God? Do you want that of a good and faithful servant? Or that of a wicked and slothful servant? You know, in that story in the New Testament, that Jesus tells about the people who received the talents. The one who received the five, and the one who received the two, and the one who received the one. You understand that the five and the two people, they decided to walk in the old paths. In the good way. And they said, "We will." And as the master came back and they presented the five, the ten, and the two, the four, and they go through this process, what is their commendation? "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." But to the one, did you notice his attitude? He said to the master, he said, "I knew that thou wert an austere man," right? "I knew that you were stingy. I knew that you would require of me this. And I knew," hey, folks, listen to me. He knew. And as the master was away and he took that talent that he had been given and he hid it away, he stood in defiance and said, "I will not." And the condemnation he received was, "Thou wicked and slothful servant." In Deuteronomy chapter 10, this is the account of how the people dealt with God during their time in exile. It says, "And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee? But to fear the Lord thy God, and to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I have commanded this day for thy good." He says, hey, I preached a message, series of messages on this. What doth the Lord thy God require of thee? But you understand, folks, what's he asking for? He's asking for, "I will. I will. I will walk in your ways. I will follow you, God. I will love you, and I will serve you, and I will do it with all my heart and all my soul, and I will keep your commandments, and I will keep your statutes, and I will keep all the things that you've commanded this day for my good." Because guess what the good way yields, folks? Good. Guess what the evil way yields? Evil. This is not rocket science. This is easy. We can all understand this. And listen, it has, to this point, in all that we've talked about, has God been deceptive in his purpose? Has God been mysterious or unclear in what he wants? Has he given the pros and the cons? Has he given the blessings and the benefits and the punishments and the difficulties? Has he lined it all out? Has he pleaded his case? Has he put forth a good record? Oh yeah. And all he's asking, are you going to be an I will? Or are you going to be an I will not? Folks, that's where we are today. In May 28th of 2023. What kind of people are we going to be? Are we going to be I will people? Or are we going to be I will not people? Day by day, week by week, and year by year, you have a choice to make. I will walk in the old paths. I will walk in the good way. I will live my life as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is my reasonable service. I will endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. I will come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. I will live my life holy, holy, holy unto God. Or you're going to be one that says, I will not follow after God. I will not obey his commandments. I will not live my life separated. I will not do this. I will not do that. Which one? God knows our ways. God knows our thoughts. He knows our hearts. He knows what he has observed. If we're a stiff-necked people or not. In 1 Samuel chapter 8, the people had asked Samuel for a king. Samuel pleaded with them. He told them what was going to happen. If you get a king like the other nations have kings, this is what he's going to do. He's going to take your sons, he's going to take your daughters, he's going to take your material possessions, he's going to do this. He's going to rule over you, he's going to do this. You don't want a king. You're better off having God as your king. He pled the case. And in verse 18 he says, and ye shall cry out in that day because your king, which ye shall have chosen you, the Lord will not hear you in that day. He said, hey, I'm just telling you, don't do this. Don't reject the Lord. Don't say we will not have God to be a king over us. We want a king like other people have a king. But we don't want God to be our king. Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel. And they said, nay, but we will have a king over us, that we also may be like all the nations, that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles. And Samuel heard all the words of the people, and he rehearsed them in the ears of the Lord. And the Lord said unto Samuel, hearken unto their voice, and make them a king. And Samuel said unto the men of Israel, go ye every man into his city. Folks, you know what happened? Disaster. Disaster happened. You should know, Saul was head and shoulders above all the rest, and he was a goodly sword, and he did well his first couple years as king. Oh, he did. But then what? Yeah, then all these things came true. All these things happened. And how was the end of old King Saul, folks? Was it a good one? Hello, there's an edge there. Was it a good end? No. It's one of the accounts of suicide that we have in the Bible. Not a good end. Not a good end. Why? Because the people said, we will not. We'll not hearken. We will not walk therein. We're not going to live that way. He said, but Pastor, the children of Israel had some good times. Yes, they had good times when they said, we will. And they had bad times when they said, we will not. Folks, listen to me. In your lifetime, in all your days, even now, there may be some of you sitting in this crowd that are I will Christians. And guess what? Life's going to be good. Because it is the good way. It is the way that you should walk. And it is the place to find rest for your souls. Some of you may be in that place where recently, maybe not with your words, but with your actions, you've said, I will not. And it's a place of unrest. It's a place of misery. Oh, listen, it may go well for you for a little bit. But in the end, it's no good. It's no good. God said, hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people. Even the fruit of their thoughts. You say, why? Because they deserved it? No. You say, why? Because God is just intolerant and he's to the point where he's not forgiving at all? No. Because they sinned against him? No. Why was he going to bring evil? Why is he going to do this to these people? It says here, because they have not hearkened, but rejected. That's why. Folks, we need to hearken unto God. We need to get to the place where we turn back to God. He's pleading with us. Hey! Get off the bad path. Come over here where it's good. Stand in the ways. Look around. Evaluate where you are. Okay, evil path, evil path, evil path. Good path. Evil path, evil path, evil path. Okay, I've evaluated. Here's the good way. And walk therein. I will find rest for my soul. It's right here. Peace. Forgiveness. God's mercy, God's grace, it's a great path. But the difficulty, the evil, the wrath of God comes when we say, when we stand in our ways. Yep. Evil, evil, evil. Good. Evil, evil, evil. I'm good. I will not walk in that path. That's where we are, folks. You know what we do? We justify it. We say, it's not that bad. Oh, as an old-fashioned, independent, fundamental Baptist, I'm better than the Methodists. I'm better than those Lutherans. I'm better than those Catholics. Well, I'm better than those Muslims. Well, I'm better... Well, what does that have to do with anything? It has nothing to do with any of it. How about, am I in the good way? Am I in the good path? Am I following the old paths? Am I right with God? Am I where I'm supposed to be? Not how am I compared to... You know that comparing ourselves among ourselves is what? Not wise. And guess what not wise is? Foolish. It's foolish. Let's talk about Solomon for a second. A wicked man hardeneth his face. But as for the upright, he directeth his way. Happy is the man that feareth alway, but he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief. And then this one. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. You know, folks, our God is long-suffering. We see in our text here in Jeremiah that even after all the record of the indictment of the people, to the point where they don't even blush, to the point where the priests and the prophets have all been deceitful, he still pleads with them. Stand in the way. Ask me for the old paths, I'll tell you. Walk in it and you'll find rest for your souls. But we will not walk therein. I am sent to you, the prophet, the preacher. Warning, warning, warning. We will not hearken. Stiff-necked, hardened hearts, rejectors of God's word. In Acts chapter 7, Stephen's preaching. As he's about to be stoned and sent to meet his Savior, he says to the Pharisees and those around about him with the stones in hand, "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and in ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before the coming of the Just One, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers, who received the law by the disposition of angels, and have not kept it. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart." Can I ask you something? Was there still an opportunity for them to be saved? Hey, they could have been cut to the heart and realized that they were in the evil way. And they could have repented and come to the truth. Do you know what they did instead? They gnashed on him with their teeth. And they stoned him to death. He said, "Shut up, I don't want to hear it." We will not. And they said it defiantly. And they said it with contempt. Not of Stephen, but of God. We will not. You understand, folks, we have example after example after example of how rebellion turns out in Scripture. How a hardened heart and a stiff neck, and it's never good. Never, not one time is it profitable. Oh, folks, sin is pleasurable for a season. Making these choices and not choosing to follow with God may bring some temporary relief in your life. But as far as the lasting results are concerned, "we will" is always better than "we will not." You say, "But there's going to be some storms if I walk with the Lord on the good path, on the old ways." Yep. But guess what you have? You got Jesus in the boat. I'd rather go through a storm with Jesus in the boat than not go through a storm with him out of the boat. Over in Luke chapter 19, Jesus tells a parable. He says this: "A certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, 'Occupy till I come.' But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, 'We will not have this man to reign over us.' It came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, 'Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. He said unto him, 'Well done, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, 'Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, Be thou also over 5 cities. And another came, saying, 'Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. For I feared thee, because thou art an astar man. And thou takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest that thou did not sow. And he saith unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest not thou the money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required my own with usury? And he said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound, and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. And they said unto him, the Lord that hath 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. For I say unto you, that unto every one which hath shall be given. And from him that hath not, even that he hath shall be taken away from him. But those mine enemies, which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. This is a very interesting parable that Jesus tells. Do you know what it's a parable of? It's a parable of I will and I will not. As we go back to Jeremiah chapter 6 and finish up today, I just want to ask you, what is God's observation of your life? You know, God has observed you. God knows the very number of the hairs on your head. And all God has to do for me is use simple subtraction. He knows our hearts, folks. He knows our ways. He knows our works. He knows all about us. He knows that by your life, if you are a I will or an I will not. You know what we need to do today? If we are I will not, become I will. And if we are I wills, then we need to be dedicated to stay I wills. Don't be known by God as a stiff-necked people. Don't be known by God to have a hardened heart. Don't be known by God to be rebellious toward Him. Because this is the end. I will bring evil upon this people. Even the fruit of their thoughts. Because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor to my law, but rejected it. I thought it fair for today's message to give you the warning. Before we actually go into the old paths, before we actually dissect what these ways of God are, which we're going to do in the coming days, I thought it'd be fair to give you a warning. You better become an I will Christian instead of an I will not Christian. Because there is a payment.